हरिः हरिः ओम तत्सत्, हरिः ओम तत्सत्, जय गुरु। यम शैवा समुपासते शिवैदि ब्रह्मेदि वेदांदिनो बौद्धा बुद्धैदि प्रमाणपडवः कर्तेदि नैयायिका अर्हन्नित्यथ जैनशासनरता कर्मेदि मीमांसका सोऽयं वो विदधातु वाञ्छितफलम् त्रैलोक्यनाथो हरिः। सोऽयं वो विदधातु वाञ्छितफलम् त्रैलोक्यनाथो हरिः। എന്താശങ്കയനിക്കുജീവനമതിൽ വിശ്വം ഭരൻ നീ സദാ കുഞ്ഞിൻ പാലനമോർത്തതിന്നുചിതമായി സ്തന്യം ചമച്ചില്ലയോ വീണ്ടും വീണ്ടുമിതോർത്തു യാദവപദേ ഗോപീപദേ സത്പദേ പാദാംബോജനിഷേവ കൊണ്ടു സതതം കാലം കഴിക്കുന്നു ഞാൻ പാദാംബോജനിഷേവ കൊണ്ടു സതതം കാലം കഴിക്കുന്നു ഞാൻ ഹരിഹി ഓം ഹരിഹി ഓം ഹരിഹി വി ഷൽ ഹാവ് ത്രീ ടൈംസ് ഓംകാര റിസൈറ്റേഷൻ ജോയിൻ്റ്ലി ത്രീ ടൈംസ് നിങ്ങളെല്ലാവരും കണ്ണടച്ച് കൈകോർത്ത് മടിയിൽ വെച്ച് ബുദ്ധിമുട്ടാതെ നിവർന്നിരുന്ന് വേദനിക്കേണ്ട ആകാവുന്നിടത്തോളം നിവർന്നിരുന്ന് വായും മനസ്സും തുറന്ന് എൻ്റെ കൂടെ മൂന്ന് തവണ ഓംകാരം ജപിക്കാം. ഈ ജപത്തിൻ്റെ ഉദ്ദേശം നമ്മളുടെ എല്ലാവരുടെയും കൂട്ടായ ഈ ജപം, ഓംകാര ജപം, ഈ നാരായണ ആശ്രമ തപോവനത്തിലോ തൃശ്ശൂർ ജില്ലയിലോ കേരള സംസ്ഥാനത്തിലോ ഭാരതത്തിലോ ഒതുങ്ങി നിൽക്കാതെ ആഗോളവ്യാപകമായി വികസിച്ച് എല്ലാ ദിക്കിലും അതിൻ്റെ മംഗളസ്വാധീനം പ്രസരിപ്പിച്ച് മനുഷ്യർക്ക് ശാന്തിയും സമാധാനവും വിവേകവും വിജ്ഞാനവും ഉണ്ടാകണം. അങ്ങനെയുള്ള മഹാസങ്കല്പത്തോടുകൂടി നിങ്ങളെല്ലാവരും ജപിക്കുക. ഇത് വലിയ ഒരു കൂട്ടതപസ്സാണ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് കളക്റ്റീവ് ഓസ്റ്റെരിറ്റി വിച്ച് യു ക്യാൻ പെർഫോം. ഹാവ് ദി ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് ദറ്റ് ദ കളക്റ്റീവ് റിസൈറ്റേഷൻ ഷുഡ് സ്പ്രിംഗ് സോർ വെരി ഹൈ ആൻഡ് സ്പ്രെഡ് ഫുൾഫില്ലിംഗ് ദി എൻറ്റയർ ഗ്ലോബ് thereby permeating into the hearts and minds of millions of people over the globe, bestowing upon them a definite degree of auspiciousness, peace, freedom, and fulfillment. The human mind alone has got this capacity to generate a sankalpa, a creative thought of this kind of a dimension. Remember, the entire creation of the universe has been through the sankalpa of the supreme reality called Brahman. The same sankalpa shakti has been instilled into the human personality. That is why the human being is supposed to be the highest and the best of creation upon this earth. Harihi, Harihi. ഗുഡ് ബട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ക്യാൻ ബി ബെറ്റർ നന്നായി പക്ഷേ കൂടുതൽ നന്നാവാം എല്ലാവരും തൊണ്ടയും മനസ്സും മുഴുവനും സമർപ്പിച്ച് ജപിക്കുക. ഇതാ ഓ നന്നായി ഒരിക്കൽ കൂടി ഹരിഹി ഓം തസ് ജയഗുരു. നോർമലി ഐ ഗീവ് എ ടോക്ക് ഇൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് and only subsequently I speak in Malayalam. This time it so happened that I was trying to exhort people to chant Omkara, and I wanted most of the Keralites who participate in it, therefore I spoke apparently in Malayalam. So I will talk a few words in English also. For a number of years, particularly ever since this ashram was formed in the year 1963, we have been observing this Guru Purnima sacred day in all its sublimity. Maybe in the initial years we had only the few ashram members, inmates, to assemble and observe the day. Maybe some of them are not alive here. They would have felt that was a very calm and cool, comfortable assembly. We did not have a mic, we did not have a hall of this kind, and we did not have an extensive assembly of people of this nature. But the observance was equally sublime, very much devoted, devotional in character. Gradually, I started moving outside Kerala, giving English discourses, Jnana Yajna, in the different parts of the country and gradually abroad also. I happened to go to Canada and United States first in the year 1973. Altogether, I spent 4 months there. I had gone to some of the universities of Canada and United States and spoken there. In the University of Calgary, I was asked by the professor to conduct a meditation class. I was a little baffled. Normally, I would not conduct a meditation class, but he said, "This is a class for meditation, and you have to tell us something about meditation." In a closed room, I don't remember how many students were there, maybe about 20 or 25. I had to spend 25 minutes with them, discussing what is meditation and ultimately asking them to close their eyes and sit for a while. All this happened. I was taken to a clinical psychologist. He said, "Swamiji, I would like to conduct a research into you. Will you accept our invitation? Can you come to our research room and stay for a while and meditate? I would like to record your brain functions." I said yes. I spent about half an hour or 40 minutes for him. He had given me a report. Unfortunately, that finding is not in the ashram. I was not in the habit of keeping these papers. But it was there. If the old Mataji was there, she would have salvaged it from somewhere. He was saying, "The findings that we have got are not easily understandable by us. I can only tell you that the area of clinical psychology is such that there is a lot more we have to go into, explore and assess. Some of the vibrations in the brain region were such that they were not able to understand. They were not comparable with what would normally take place in the brains of ordinary people." This much he had recorded. So I have been moving in the different parts of India conducting Jnana Yajnas. We also have a magazine. It is now 50 years or more old. And this magazine happened to be a mouthpiece for us. I was very particular that I should start it, and that magazine would make me write at least something every time. So it became part of my activities and the ashram. And gradually this Guru Purnima became more and more known to our devotees. And the yearly function became more and more attended. And now today it is of this dimension as you see today. But what is this Guru Purnima? People do not know. I always say in the Indian almanac, in the Indian calendar, the most important holy and auspicious day is Guru Purnima. I don't think our people have accepted it. You have to accept. Every one of you wants to get married, even otherwise. When you have children, you can only feed the children with food and nourishment at home. Their minds and intelligence have to be fed by the teachers. So the role of knowledge in human life is indispensable. It's even greater than the role of the body and bodily needs. Guru Purnima becomes important in the context of the knowledge seeking and the knowledge orientation and enrichment of the human being. We don't want to have dull children. We want to have intelligent children, mentally strong children, who will be able to think well, understand well, communicate well, articulate well, who will shine with their inner personality. That is what we want. It is true that we require living resources. We want to have some money or resources to live. But the money will come only when you have mind and intelligence. I always say the world is ruled by two factors. One is money and wealth, another is intelligence. I was talking to the FRNV people that we are not moneyed, we don't want money. But we are intelligent. We want the world to be ruled by intelligence and not by money. Even now, what is this corruption in our country? It is due to lack of mental, intellectual qualities and character of the people. Very recently, I was thinking about filing a public interest litigation in the Supreme Court. It's a very emergent petition. I hope our we will file it in 2 days, at least in 3 days, he should file it. Will you? Huh? So I am doing so many other kinds of work. So in between I started taking, he said, who will help me and where is the time, etc. It went into my brain. I started writing, thinking. I asked Inisha to help me to give facts and figures from the website. I want to know what happened to all the assembly, parliament sessions. 15 sessions have passed after independence. We are electing the people, members of parliament, to get into the parliament, take the seats and conduct parliamentary business. They should not sit in their seat even for 1 minute in an idle manner. They should conduct the business. Now the parliament itself is stalled. Are we electing the people to sit there and stall the parliament? They have something called an immunity. An immunity. What is this immunity for? It is to sit in the parliament and conduct the business of the parliament, but not to stall it. So I would like to raise this subject in the Supreme Court. Who alone can resolve that point? All the people who are stalling the parliament, either they were government people earlier or they will be government people later. So all of them are equally guilty. I am restless about the matter. This question should be raised in the Supreme Court and we have to find a solution. These parliamentarians will never find a solution. Rajya Sabha appointed a committee, parliament appointed a committee, committee appointment is over, but nothing is done. How long can we wait? We are the people who have elected the parliament. Representation of People's Act is only up to the point of election, up to the birth of the child. To look after the child, there is no act here. So this is an anomaly which has to be addressed by only the Supreme Court. Why I am telling you all this? There is something called knowledge propriety. We must understand there is a behavioral and characteral norm, discipline we must always have. And these disciplines will come to us only through education, proper education. And this education comes from the teacher, not from anybody else. Our present day education is like grazing cattle. You take the cattle, graze them and bring them back, that's all. The children go to the school at 10 o'clock, 4 o'clock they leave. The teacher has no interaction with any student personally and individually.
He will write something on the board or please speak, that's all. Where is the interaction between the teacher and the student? With the parents at least some interaction is there. But our Gurukula education means children spending time with the teacher, living with the teacher, observing each other, imbibing, learning, transmitting, imparting in various ways what a child should learn. This was possible in the ancient days. That is the greatness of Guru Purnima. You know, we have spiritual and philosophical literature commencing from the Vedas. In olden times, they were taught from the mouth to the ear. There was nothing like writing because the pronunciation of letters and words were so complex that you cannot write them. You have to see the lip movement, the tongue movement, hear the voice and then imbibe. And the teacher will have to correct you if necessary 10 times, 20 times, 100 times until a true pronunciation comes out of the mouth. So it was being taught. Without any writing process, Vedas were taught and transmitted and countless generations passed. I would like you to hear it with special emphasis. If in any one generation, some of the people who taught the Vedas and such literature, they became relaxed or indifferent, or the people who wanted to learn became indifferent or relaxed, don't you think the whole lineage, the whole education legacy would have been broken? Yes or no? Huh? Now, without breaking, we have preserved it for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. How did we do it? This is our greatness. Whenever I chant an Upanishadic shloka, I will start taking it up from tomorrow onwards. It is the verses written in prehistoric times, tens and thousands of years ago. They were spoken and they were heard. The same literature is before me and I read it. We understand it. The words are not different. The meaning is not different. How is it that our society was able to evolve such a splendid literature with grammatical perfection so that language has not changed over tens of thousands of years? Every language changes in 200 or lesser years. But this language seems to have survived here. And we are able to understand it explicitly, completely, very well, with no change at all. This is because of the Guru and Shishya learning process. I went to Calcutta many years back. My brothers took me, I also went. It was for getting a job. But within 2 months, I happened to meet my Gurudev. A bearded person with skin and bone, that's all. His picture is here. I prostrated before him. He embraced me and gave me a kiss on my forehead. I was wondering, what is this? This is something that I have not experienced in the hands of my mother or father. I was the last child. So what is that confidence that he had? And what was the prompting and impetus he felt? So I found there was a new meaning. There is a new fondness. What is that? Where from does it come? So I became closer to him. I liked him right at the first sight, and the liking continues even today. Before long, I got initiated by him into Brahma Vidya. I never knew what was Brahma Vidya. I was only a religious man, religious boy, born 25 kilometers away from here, practicing the usual customary religion and religious ways. But I was very sincere about it, enthusiastic also. But this is something entirely different. So I understood that there is something called knowledge, cultural wisdom, cultural elegance, something for the mind and the intelligence, the inner personality to absorb, pursue, practice, perfect and excel in. There is something like that. So I took to meditation and said, I will not read books. My Gurudev said, okay, you need not read books. Do the sadhana I have given you. So I started doing the sadhana. After about 1.5 or 2 years, I started reading. The first book was Mundaka Upanishad. Till then, a Sanskrit lover I was, I had suspended Sanskrit. This Sanskrit cannot do anything for me. English is my requirement. So that suspended Sanskrit I took up again, and Sanskrit and myself, we became almost coeval, coexistential. From then on, I was governed by what I learned and understood. Scriptures and scriptural statements are not impersonal for me. They are very personal, very vibrant, very vibrant, very active. Whenever I see a verse or a statement or a proverb, I look at it as a living personal contact and interaction. It is people like us, your predecessors, have evolved this knowledge and bequeathed it to you in the form of written and spoken verses. So the love, the flair, the fondness, the affinity, the attunement, and the oneness I have to whatever I read is something perhaps very spectacular. I have grown. I have grown in whatever I have read. I have grown with our tradition, grown with our literature, grown with our Upanishads, grown with the Bhagavad Gita, grown with the allied scriptural statements and textbooks. All these things are generally taught from the Guru Purnima day onwards, at least for 3-4 months. Students assemble in the presence of the Guru and they start reading these Prasthanatrayam, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutra at least once. Now we also started doing something like this, and we are conducting a retreat for many years now. It started with 5 days, it was increased to 6 days. This time we are going to conduct it for 7 days from tomorrow onwards. I am going to speak on the subject comprehensive view of spirituality. What is spirituality and what is a comprehensive view? I will cover the genesis of spirituality, the growth and enrichment of spirituality, and the fulfillment of fruition of spirituality. How spiritual thinking germinates in the human mind, how it grows, and how it attains fruition and fulfillment. This is what I am going to say. Ma will speak, Nutun Swamiji also will speak on different subjects, but all will be centering around this one. So this Guru Purnima is the one day. Actually, that is the teacher's day, the knowledge day, the disciples' day. It is the knowledge day. This knowledge has to be imparted, it has to be imbibed. Like the full moon on the sky, we want the knowledge that is imbibed to shine like the full moon. The sun's luster is always not acceptable. It will cause damage and burn us. Every year some people die in Hyderabad, at least in that area. So the scorching rays of the sun we cannot always accept and look at even. But the moon is not like that. There is no heat, only cool and calm radiance the moon sheds. So like that, the learning should shine. All our days which we commemorate are relating to nature, and particularly the celestial bodies in the sky. Our earth also is a celestial body revolving in the sky. And the earth is conditioned and governed by all the surrounding planets and heavenly bodies. Our Kumbh Mela is celebrated when different planets come to a particular combination position in the sky. We have an Ardha Kumbh Mela, Purna Kumbh Mela, and a Maha Kumbh Mela every 144 years. Without any invitation, people generally recognize and come to know that there is such a day after 144 years because it is produced by the sky and the celestial bodies. And last time for the Maha Kumbh Mela, 15 crores of people had assembled for holy bath. What do you think of India? We are yet to discover the greatness of India. Let us know more and more, and in the reckoning of wisdom which India has evolved and preserved, which we still want to preserve, I think Guru Purnima is indispensable. Indispensable. The earlier we recognize it, better. We don't have to look for any other teacher's day. Our teacher's day is already there. The Adhyapaka Dina is there. The Guru Dina is there. And it is commemorated not with reference to a person, Let us stop this. We have constructed temples. We have constructed memorials. But in the name of God, not in the name of Taj Mahal. Not one king has got a temple here. We foolishly have started creating Rama Mandir and Krishna Mandir. Normally it is not our tradition. That tradition is entirely different. So this is a wonderful day which tells you a lot about insight into our Indian culture and cultural stalwarts we have. So this is the message of Guru Purnima. It is a day which tells you that you have to enrich and empower your inner personality consisting of the mind and the intelligence. The earlier you do it, better. One idea struck me when I was sitting here. Next year, it means expenditure, a lot of expenditure. We should at least make it known throughout Kerala by proper insertions, advertisements, etc. that what is this Guru Purnima? What does it represent? I would like to do it on a national basis. It is beyond us. At least in Kerala, let us try to do whether this message can be spread and some kind of a writing will appear in the newspapers and other media so that people will know. I am interested in instituting such Indian items of culture in the minds of the people. I always feel our intellectuals are missing a lot by distancing themselves grievously from our scriptural and allied compositions and messages. People who come to the ashram repeatedly say, Swamiji, all these corruptions and other things will vanish only when people like you talk about these matters. I don't know whether spiritual people can transform the country, but at least we are doing a little bit. So the day is very important, the message is very important. Particularly I want to say it is a teacher's day or the teacher day. The credit goes to all the teachers who teach us. Let us have one day. How much we recognize the role of tuition in human life, knowledge in human life, and how much of enrichment knowledge alone can give us. I think this is a message for all of you. Understand that you should have a focus on your sadhana. I have received a number of telephone calls. Briefly, I used to say, do sadhana and fill your mind. Do sadhana and fill your mind. Be cheerful, be happy, be contented. You don't need anything other than your mind to become cheerful. Delight is an emotion. Joy is an emotion. As an emotion, it belongs to the mind. So develop this emotion by the art and process relating to it. You don't need anything other than your mind to become joyous and cheerful. Develop a mind that is flexible, that is assimilative, that will always generate, feel and radiate joy and joyfulness. Guru Purnima is primarily meant for it, to make you all joyous, joyous. We have the soul within us which makes us unassailable, unassailable, unconquerable, unsubduable, unexcellable. All these qualities are in our soul. You already have it. Recognize it, discover it, discover it, realize it, and be free and ecstatic. Okay. Govinda Nama Sankirtanam. Govinda, Govinda. Namah Parvati Padaye. Hara Hara Mahadeva. Govinda Nama Sankirtanam. Govinda, Govinda. Okay. Akhanda Mandalagaram. Vyaptam yena jarajaram tatpadam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Na guro radhigam tattvam na guro radhigam tapah tattva jnanat param nasti തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ. അനേക ജന്മ സംപ്രാപ്ത കർമ്മേന്ധനവിദാഹിനേ തത്വജ്ഞാനാഗ്നിദാനേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ. ഹരിഹി ഹരിഹി. ഓ ഹരി ഓം തത്സ്.